This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, great advice. Yeah, I just got a message from Keisa Davison, who is running for mayor of Kalispell. And a couple of reminders as folks in cities and towns across Montana are getting their municipal ballots either in or working to fill them out and then return those ballots to the elections offices. One reminder is this. There is a new requirement on your ballot envelope now. And you know, as you guys know, when you get your mail-in ballot, your absentee ballot, you have to, you know, sign your signature on there so that there's signature verification when the elections office gets your ballot. Well, now there's also a new requirement where you have to fill in your birth year on the ballot envelope. It's right before your signature block. There's four big boxes for your birth year. It was very obvious to me when I got my municipal election ballot, when I filled that out. It should be obvious to anybody, especially anybody who is actually reading the instructions and paying attention when you're doing something as important as filling out a ballot for voting. But still want to put that important reminder out for folks. But Keisa Davison had another great reminder, which is, hey, you guys know how the mail system operates. Sometimes it can get there fast. Sometimes it cannot get there fast. So probably your best bet right now is if you are going to be filling out your municipal election ballot and then turning it in, I would just drop that thing off by hand, personally deliver your ballot instead of wait for it to get there in the mail. So that is very good advice no matter which city or town you're listening to this show from here this morning. Hey, but speaking of your ballots here with municipal elections that are going on right now, one topic that is on the ballot in Flathead County is you, the voters. If you're listening to KJJR right now in the Flathead, you get the opportunity to, as George Strait would say, check yes or no. Check yes or no on building a new jail, a new detention center for Flathead County. Last week, I told you guys, I got an incredible tour of the Flathead County Detention Center from Commander Jenny Root. She's been the commander of the Flathead County Detention Center now for 10 years. She first started nearly 25 years ago as a detention officer, but she's, of course, the commander of the detention facility. And since many of you are going to be voting on whether or not to build a new jail, I told you my thoughts last week, especially after getting a tour and seeing the inside and talking with so many of these incredible detention officers. It was like, wow, a new jail for Kalispell is desperately needed. But hey, why not get the commander of the jail to join us right here on the show? So that's exactly what we're going to do. Coming up right after this quick break, Commander Jenny Root will join us right here on Montana Talks. And if you want to jump in on the conversation, if you've got a quick question or a comment, you can do that as well. You can send us a message on the Montana Talks app. After we get the conversation up and rolling for a few minutes, you can even call and jump in on the conversation as well. 406-294-0970 is the number. And then later on in the hour, we're going to have Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana in the second half of the 8 o'clock hour. Back right after this.
It's October 24th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today's United Nations Day. The UN is an intergovernmental organization intent on creating cooperation between all governments of the world. In 2018, Kenyan marathon runner Eliud Kipchoge named the UN Person of the Year for setting a new marathon world record and for his work with HIV/AIDS in Kenya. It took 8 years to build at a cost of $15 billion. The Hong Kong Zhuhai Macau Bridge opens on this day in 2018. At just over 34 miles, it is both the longest sea crossing and the longest open sea fixed link in the world. It features three cable-stayed bridges and three man-made islands and an undersea tunnel just over 4 miles long. Born on this day in Toronto, Canada, rap star Drake. I know when that hotline bling. Only me one thing. I'm CJ Papa, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Now I'm going to have that song Ballroom Blitz stuck in my head for the entire weekend. Time to watch some Wayne's World. Time to break out Guitar Hero. Enjoy your weekend. Plus, man, it's hunting season. Holy cow, we got a lot to do. A lot to talk about as well. Coming up on Monday's Montana Talks, we're taking your phone calls. You can be heard all across Montana. And then later in the week, I'll be broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. Stay tuned. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Whether you are buying or selling, Artie's Coins should be your first stop. Gold and silver are at an all-time high, so it's important to deal with a knowledgeable, fair, reputable, and a trusted business in Billings for over 30 years. Artie's buys and sells at a fair price. Metals are a great place to put your money. Artie's Coins, open weekdays 9 till 5, Saturdays 10 till 3 at 1944 Grand Avenue in Billings.
You can trust you'll always get more coin from Artie's Coins.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report phishing, and update your software on all your devices. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock not only alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information, but also fixes identity theft, guaranteed or your money back. So stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use the promo code BECK. Terms do apply.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here with Commander Jenny Root joining us live. She is at the Flathead County Detention Center right now as we speak. Commander, great to have you on the show, and thanks for the tour last week. It was such an honor to meet you and your whole team there.
Thank you. It was our pleasure hosting you. We really appreciate the community coming in and seeing what our officers are, the environment they're working with in a day-to-day.
You know, I was trying to communicate to our listeners last week on you know, just what it was like for me personally touring through the facility, and I was kind of approaching it as a military veteran and thinking of operational security and being able to view any potential threat all at one time. And I was amazed at how, I mean, I knew you needed a new jail, but I was amazed at how crowded and how many different corridors there are. And you've got camera systems and everything to keep your eye on all the inmates. But wow, what a challenging environment that is. And yet your team seems to be doing a great job given all the challenges facing you right now.
Yeah, we are very lucky. We have an amazing team that has made this work for so many years. We have a very challenging jail design that they don't design anymore. They're linear cell jails. It was all prior to the 90s, and it makes it very difficult to run a safe facility. And, you know, the tour is a great thing because there's so many things that we can show you that we necessarily can't talk about or put on social media because of security issues. So we really appreciate you coming in and seeing it firsthand.
Yeah, I joked, you know, as a military veteran, I like it, and you're probably the same being law enforcement. When I go out to eat, like at a restaurant, I always like to sit with my back to the wall so I can see the whole room. I can see who's coming and going in the door.
Fox News commentary.
When I was at the jail, it was like I was constantly like looking around the corner, looking over my back, because it's you don't have that kind of fishbowl where you can have your eye on all of the inmates pretty much all at one time.
Oh, yeah, you're correct. One of the hardest things about this facility design is it's really considered an inmate-run facility, and I know that sounds horrible, but that's because our officers are only seeing them every 30 minutes, and then when they go into the housing units, you know, they're really not sure what they're walking into because they can't see the whole area before they go into the housing unit.
So by the numbers, talk about the current detention center, and then what would the new jail, if approved by the voters, deliver?
So currently, currently we are we take any inmate up to 100 inmates. So after we reach 100, we no longer take any nonviolent misdemeanors. So for example, today we are sitting at 102 inmates this morning. So if anyone got arrested for misdemeanor theft or disorderly conduct or criminal trespass, we would not take them into our jail. So for the community, that's a lack of accountability, and, you know, just creates more problems and encourages people to break the law in our community. With the new facility, we won't have those restrictions because we will be bumping up to 200 beds. And so we will be able to take in all those individuals that do commit crimes that need to be held accountable. We're not saying people need to be locked up forever, but there needs to be accountability in our community. And that's our biggest hope.
You know, we've obviously heard that this is a challenge for so many counties across Montana. The jails are full. They need more jail space. Look, we're a growing state, a growing population, especially in these larger counties. And so as you grow, you need all sorts of infrastructure, including jail infrastructure as well. But, you know, what you're saying is the challenge facing Flathead County. I've heard the same thing in Yellowstone County, for example, where it's like you've got police officers or sheriff's deputies. They're out there. They're doing their job. They're finding the bad guys. They're arresting the bad guys. But if there's no space in the jail, they can't put them behind bars. And when you can't put them behind bars and there's no accountability, then the criminal element starts to think they can get away with bigger crimes.
It's just like having a teenager, right? If you don't hold them accountable, they break the rules, then they go out and break more rules. And that's exactly what happens here in our community. And it's very frustrating to our law enforcement because they are doing a good job and they are out there trying to keep our community safe. But there is times where people out there know that they can't go to jail. And our law enforcement officers have actually had people tell them that, well, it's no big deal. You can't take me to jail anyways. The jail is full. And so that's very frustrating, and we don't want that for our law enforcement or our community members. So we're hoping with the new jail, that's the plan, that we will be able to hold our community, our, you know, the people breaking the law in the community accountable.
We've also got Sheriff Haino on the phone lines with us as well. We'll get to him coming up here after the next break. But first, Commander Jenny Root, the commander of the jail in Kalispell. The other thing that I think people across Montana would be interested in is, okay, you might say you have 100 beds for jail space, but those numbers can be impacted based off of, like, let's say, for example, you have a mental health inmate in there, and you have a crazy guy in there screaming and yelling and all day long, like I certainly saw and heard when I visited the jail last week. Well, now, all of a sudden, that impacts your numbers. Now, a room that might have housed multiple detainees before can only house one.
Absolutely. Jail population, like your space in your bed, can never be based on a number. A lot of times people think jail is like a hotel. You have 100 beds, you can fit 100 inmates. Usually, that's far from the truth, because usually it's about 80% occupancy rate. Because you have to separate your violence, your non-violence, your men away from your females, people who are witnesses against each other. And our mental health is our big component here as well. And this is running us about 70-75% occupancy rate, because we have all these mental health individuals that need single cells, and we only have 4 mental health or medical units. And we probably have an upwards of 15 to 20 mental health inmates who need single cells. So they're taking up more cells than just one, more beds than just for one person.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you see it for yourself, you'll know just how crazy it truly is. Anyway, hold that thought. We'll talk with the sheriff right after this.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blanton.
We ask a bunch of questions on our Fox News survey. Twice this year, we've asked about the performance of Democrats and Republicans in Congress. Both times, congressional Republicans received more positive marks than congressional Democrats. In March, approval of Republicans was higher by 13 percentage points. In September, they did better by 5. What makes the difference is counterintuitive. You might think bad ratings from lots of GOP voters are the reason Democratic lawmakers do worse. Instead, it's because a larger share of Republican voters approve of their party's representatives than Democratic voters do of theirs. Last month, self-identified Republicans were more likely to approve than disapprove of GOP lawmakers by a 53-point margin. Yet approval of Dem lawmakers among Democrats was net positive by a much smaller 17-point spread. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it. I got the job. I can't believe it.
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, Sean Hannity here with the only real estate agent in your market that I recommend, Amber Earn of Realty Billings. If someone's home needs repairs to sell for more money, but it's too expensive, well, what's your best advice for them so they can still sell their home for the most money possible?
Hey, Sean. If your home needs repairs to sell for top dollar, but the cost feels overwhelming, we've got you covered. One of our most valuable programs is our pre-renovation program. We handle the repairs up front, and you simply pay us back at closing. The truth is, updated and renovated homes sell faster and for more money than outdated ones. So this program really helps maximize your sale. And if the property has too much deferred maintenance or is in really poor condition, we also offer a cash offer option for a quick and hassle-free sale.
Call Amber today at 670-1942. Google Amber Earn online at listwithamber.com. Listwithamber.com.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's turn to Sheriff Brian Hano now, Flathead County Sheriff Brian Hano. Sheriff, great to have you on the show, and it was great to get to see you after this incredible tour of the jail in Kalispell last week. You know, it's kind of funny. You and I were talking last week about how, holy cow, you've been at this, I don't know, 20-plus years or so. And then I was laughing because I've been, you know, in either TV or radio now or Montana politics for 20-plus years. And so, but how long have you now been at this job, and how long has Flathead County been talking about the need for a new jail?
Yeah, thanks for the question. You know, on my second term, Jay and I kind of started about the same time. So we're both in that 20-plus years, you know, 23-year, 25 total for me. But yeah, when I started, I always say, you know, we had a number on the board 20 plus years ago, and it was 92 at that time. And basically, you know, we had to make those tough decisions. So now for 20 years, we have been, you know, having that accountability issue. And like Jenny said, many times we're stopping individuals and saying, oh, you got a misdemeanor warrant for your arrest. And they're saying, well, you can't take me to jail because the jail's full. It's very frustrating, you know, especially on the road, because I bring up, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You're a guy on the street. You get somebody for theft or something big, even, you know, that's a nonviolent. And you have to make a tough decision on the street. And it's you know, the system is basically built for, you know, accountability. And then the judiciaries and all the rights that they have. But when you can't have that initial accountability, it definitely, I don't think that helps our crime, our accountability to actions, and basically also having the ability to change people's behavior, you know, so that they don't head down the road of, you know, continuation of these types of things.
You know how tough it is to go to the voters and ask them for money, no matter how good of a cause it may be. It's always tough to go to the voters, especially, you know, voters in Montana. Folks have just been hammered by property taxes. But, you know, I think the thing about Flathead County is recently we saw the Flathead County commissioners, they basically lowered property tax rates. Now, some people are still, you know, getting hit because of property tax values, right? But I think the Flathead County commissioners have worked to lower lower the property tax hit for their voters. And then when it comes to, you know, the question for building a new jail or not building a new jail, that question goes to the voters to say, hey, you know, you get to decide whether to build this or not. Talk about the numbers, because I think I understand that it's about, what, $1 per month per $100,000 of taxable property value. So let's say you have a $600,000 home. That's going to be about $6 a month. Why couldn't the Flathead County Commissioners have just paid for it, just budgeted the funds to just pay for a new jail versus going to the people to ask whether to build it or not?
You know, I think there's a lot of positives like you brought up. So one is, you know, they had the foresight in 17 to, you know, start putting money away. The difficulties with that is, of course, you know, some of the cost increases during that 2020 cycle were very dramatic. I mean, we had the same discussion in 19. It was, you know, roughly $50 million, I think. And now we have increased those costs up to $100 million just by, you know, continuing to try to save that. So it's very difficult. I mean, even the sheriff's office, if you took $10 million of my budget, one, I couldn't operate. But two, you know, yes, you could maybe get there, but it's that expansion of costs is harder and harder each time we do this. I think the second point is, you know, I look at value, right? So this is not an easy ask. And I totally wholehearted, even at $6, it's $6. And for the $600,000 house, which is probably the average, I would say, in our community now. But I think there was a lot of due diligence that was done, too. We did a study on, you know, should we stay at where we currently are? We had some issues there, and we're kind of told, you know, man, this is not good. We did a study on what capacity level should be. So basically that 200 number comes from a study that was done, you know, in 2023-24. Which kind of determined we need to have that general housing at 200. I want to expand that that's not the totality. There's a special housing unit that's got some depth in it, at booking area, general worker housing. You know, so we're over that number, of course. It's just, you know, we know this is a big ask, and that's why we want to get as much information out as we can. That's why I appreciate you having us on the show this morning, because the website, we've tried to put as much detail on there of how the money is being spent, where we're at. But like you said, you're right. Flathead County is definitely the lower, you know, they've reduced taxes by new build money. They've done a lot of aggressive tactics to try to keep that number as low as they possibly can. But that being said, with that, you don't have that extra revenue basically to put into an account either. So it's very difficult in Montana because, you know, we have these conversations a lot is, we're based on property taxes for our local services. And they're really not, you know, at least in Flathead County, there's not a huge revenue base anywhere else. Where many other jurisdictions do have other revenue bases on license plates and a bunch of other things, which we currently are taxing. So I think there's due diligence in trying to, you know, do that. And again, we understand this is a big ask, but again, we're trying to present value and what you're getting and all the information that we've done studies to ensure that we are on the right project path.
Well, and I think what a contrast too to like Missoula County, for example, where, you know, they keep taxing and taxing and taxing and taxing. And usually it's for non-essential stuff, non-public safety stuff. If anything, sometimes they end up giving tax dollars to stuff that increases the public safety cost. And then their county commissioners and their city council constantly raises taxes. Whereas, yeah, in Flathead County, you've got responsible county commissioners working to blunt that impact, working to mitigate that impact. And then now they're saying, hey, here's a really important decision that we're going to give to you, the voters. And I just think that what the Flathead County voters are saving thanks to the county commissioners versus the smaller cost of what they're being asked to support her with the jail, it's you're saving a lot more thanks to Flathead County commissioners, even with passing this. I don't know if that makes sense from that standpoint, but you just, I mean, from your standpoint as sheriff, just talk about why you can't get behind the curve here when it comes to public safety and just allowing criminals to stay out on the streets.
You know, I think the examples you can see is, you know, we saw this in 2020 when we reduced public safety in large metropolitan areas. It did not go well. And again, we have that same issue here, expansion of a population of 30,000, 40,000 people. That increases, everything, right? So that includes, you know, capacity and facilities. It includes public safety and having the ability to respond to those things. It includes having deputies out there and law enforcement. All of those things combined, because you have a larger population that is doing it. The advantage, or the good news, is that we have more people, which was more tax-based. So you're trying to ensure that, you know, you get the most comparable number to balance that every day. But yeah, we can't ignore this. I mean, we can look at Seattle and California and some of those places where they basically cut their entire public safety funds and put it towards other things. And from my recollection, it didn't go real well. So,
yeah, the cost piled up even more. And yeah, Sheriff, you were talking about just the cost increases and bringing Commander Jenny Root back into the conversation. You and I kind of talked about this last week while you were giving me the tour of your facility there. It's like, hey, it doesn't look like the cost of building is going down in Montana and in Flathead County, Montana, anytime soon. I mean, I think I mentioned it. I remember talking about the Montana Historical Society, their new facility in Helena. And, you know, in just the course of 2, 3, 4 years, the cost went up like almost 40% just because of inflation and material costs. And so what's the cost of not doing it now?
For us, like just that we were talking about, like in 2016-17, we had the study, and the cost of this same size facility was going to cost us $50 to $60 million. Fast forward to now, it's $130 million, which we got down to $105 million because of the money that we've saved and put towards it, and our the way we designed the facility. So whether we move forward now or the future, it's going to be that increase every year of 2 to 3% on top of it.
Yeah, interesting, interesting. The other thing that stood out to me, Commander Root, when touring your jail is, you know, by law, you have to provide natural daylight to your jail inmates. You know, they have to get natural light. They can't just be in the room getting, you know, the electric light all day. They have to get natural light. But yet then I see your detention officers that because of this, you know, because of this old design and the way you've packed everything in there, you've got detention officers that don't get to work in daylight. You've got administrative staff that don't even have daylight. You got people basically crowded into closet space just to try to get the job done.
Yeah, it's crazy that we have to, I mean, I understand we have to require all this stuff for inmates, but we don't have the same standards for our staff. And their mental health and well-being is just as important, if not more, because they're keeping our community safe and they're keeping these inmates safe. And one of our big goals moving forward is officer wellness and safety. And we want to keep officers to work here because that people with experience is huge for us to have a successful operation of a jail. And when you have to come to work every day and it's a dungeon and your jail is falling apart, it makes it really hard to keep employees here.
Well, they're doing an incredible job in light of all of it, or in lack of light of all of it, shall we say. Commander Root, thank you so much for the tour last week. Thanks for joining us. Sheriff Haino, about 30 seconds to go. What would your pitch be to the voters out there?
You know, I know this is a big ask, but the reason that we ask this is, again, it's for our staff, right? Primarily for me, detention needs the ability to do their jobs in a safe environment, do a long career, and patrol needs to be able to do their jobs. That's what I'm standing out here, you know, presenting this information to the best of our abilities. And again, I preach it again. Accountability is one thing that, you know, this new facility will provide. It's basically the ability for our officers and our detention officers to do their job and hold people accountable until they can face their days in court.
All right, Sheriff, appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate all you do.
Thank you.
All right. And by the way, go to flatheadjail.com. They've got more information
there. The week ahead.
Monday, President Trump welcomes the Prime Minister of Australia to the White House. Expected to be discussed is the plan that is currently being reviewed by the Pentagon to provide Australia with nuclear submarines in an effort to thwart China in the Indo-Pacific region. Tuesday, the first of two big sporting events of the week. The NBA season kicks off with two games. The Rockets at the Thunder, followed by the Warriors at the Lakers. Wednesday, in honor of its 70th anniversary, the Jim Henson Company will be auctioning off over 400 items of memorabilia related to the puppetry behind the Muppets, Fraggle Rock, and more. Friday, New York Attorney General Letitia James is expected to make an initial court appearance in Norfolk, Virginia. She's accused of bank fraud and making false statements to a financial institution over a mortgage she secured for a home in Norfolk. Also Friday, the Best of Baseball battles it out. It's Game 1 of the World Series. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
All right, give me just a second here. I think I just need to reconnect my little connection here so I can get our next guest with us on the phone lines here for Montana Talks. Yeah, very exciting here in a couple of days. Well, actually, later today, I'm going to be taking off for Washington, D.C. Oh, I just got a note from Jim Brown, state auditor. Jim Brown, looks like he may be there for Montana Coffee on Wednesday. So, Jim, thanks for that message. But, yeah, tomorrow on the show, John Jackson, the Joker from X. He'll be covering down in studio, so you'll have fun calling into the show, messaging into the show like always. I'm going to be taking off for D.C. here later today. I may call into the program tomorrow. We'll see. I'm kind of keeping tomorrow flexible and open just in case there's some interview opportunities. President Trump's off on his Asia tour, so unfortunately we won't be seeing President Trump. That would have been pretty cool if that might have been an option. But we are going to catch up with the entire Montana congressional delegation, and then who else we're going to catch up with, because Wednesday morning we're going to be broadcasting live from Montana Coffee in Washington, D.C., and we're going to be there with our friends from Americans for Prosperity Montana. In fact, speaking of Americans for Prosperity Montana, let me make sure I get my my program connected here. We do have our friend Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana, who is with us on the phone lines right now as we speak. Henry, I think I've got you on my system now. What's going on, my friend? And okay, stand by just a second. I'll get it hooked in here in just a second. Hold on. This is why I'm trying to. Oh, apparently I got popped out of my Teams call. All right. I'm gonna hop back on here for just a second. Okay, Henry, I think you've got Henry, I think you've got me now. Sorry about the technical difficulty on my part there.
Yeah, no worries.
All right. Well, Henry, man, we're excited to be in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday morning. I think your colleague Jesse Ramos will be in the house with us for the show Wednesday. But, man, what's AFP Montana been up to?
Well, you know, just a little over a week ago, we participated in the governor's energy summit with the Montana Chamber of Commerce. They brought in industry leaders from around the country. We had four governors present, the governors of Wyoming, Nebraska, Puerto Rico, and, of course, Montana. And it was a great event because, as the governor identified less than 10 years ago, that energy abundance is critical to prosperity, not just in Montana, but the United States as a whole. And we have to unleash Montana's and America's energy abundance to be competitive in this very difficult marketplace that we currently live in, because everything we do is powered by energy. We've got data centers wanting to open up here in the state of Montana. We've got the threat of the shuttering of two coal strip power plants in 2029. Thankfully, the president got us two more years to work out a solution here. We've got a lot of challenges here in the state of Montana, Aaron, that we need to address. And a lot of challenges nationwide. Montana can play a pivotal role in that.
Yeah, in fact, I think Jesse Ramos was one of the keynote speakers. I think the Secretary of Energy, Energy Secretary Chris Wright, addressed via video conference because of the government shutdown, but he still addressed the conference nonetheless. Yeah, what an opportunity from an economic standpoint, especially for parts of rural Montana where they could capitalize on this economic opportunity. But on the other hand, if we don't have the energy to provide for those economic opportunities. Then there's concern with the consumers that our energy costs would just go up even higher. So clearly we have got to get out on the leading edge here and build more energy generation capacity in the state of Montana. And you guys have been fighting for that in places like Colstrip. And meanwhile, the radical environmentalist left has been shutting down Colstrip, one and two. And then they're trying to take down the rest of it. They've been filing lawsuits against natural gas power plants. And so we've got to rebuild that capacity.
Absolutely. As we all know, Biden launched his war on energy from day one with the cancellation of the Xtel pipeline. Mile City management plan basically eliminated one third of all the coal resources available on federal lands. Thankfully, our Congressman Troy Downey has introduced legislation to allow for access the Powder River Basin, which has a lot of good, clean coal available to us. And the president has been doing his work. He's issued directives to review all the federal regulations regarding federal leases to energy resources throughout the United States. Congress has to codify that, though. We're going to look for Congress to do that when they get back to work, of course. We've got leadership with Steve Scalise on permitting reform. We've got to untangle the administrative mess. You got so many agencies involved in the permitting process to enable us to access our vast energy resources, not just Montana but nationwide. We got to unravel that, and we got to review these regulations on an ongoing basis so they don't act as a stranglehold to development. In terms of Colstrip that you mentioned earlier, two power plants are due to be shuttered in 2029 unless Northwestern Energy and their new partner wants to come up with $1 billion to upgrade them to meet the overly restrictive and stringent standards. I know that Gary Perry was on site. He's chair of House Energy Committee, and he was talking about small modular reactors, small nuclear reactors. They're smaller now. The technology's improved and their safety has improved. They're being used in the region. He's trying to speed up the process for their introduction up there in a Colstrip, down from 10 to 12 years to 5 to 6. There's a lot of work to be done politically, educationally to get that done. So it was good to have the discussion. It was good to see all the people there. Unintended, the energy was very good at this conference. Montana Chamber of Commerce, Stacy Dorrington, did a fantastic job in her team of organizing it. Of course, Todd O'Hara, as chair and president, was a wonderful presence there. We had a great time. Aaron, one thing that was missing was our friend Aaron in Montana Talks.
I know. But that same day, guess what we had? We had Interior Secretary Doug Burgum join us on the show. So it was kind of funny because I was like, oh, man, I want to be at that energy conference. But, you know, I was just in Libby doing the show. Actually, we were in Libby 1 year after we did our great events with AFP Montana, highlighting Bidenomics 1 year ago. And, you know, energy prices was a key concern, because during the Biden tester years, we saw national electricity inflation alone went up 30%. But yes, that was a big topic of conversation over 1 year ago in places like Libby. Yeah, and then we ended up having Interior Secretary Doug Burgum on the show, which reminds me, one of the questions that I kind of, you know, had basically asked to me when I was in Libby a couple of weeks ago was, why is this time different? You know, because it seems like this roller coaster, right, where you get good news for Libby, good news for timber, good news for mining, and then a new administration comes in, the Democrats take power, and then you got bad news for Libby, bad news for mining, bad news for timber, and then good news, a Republic. Why is this time different? And one of the things that Interior Secretary Doug Burgum said on our show is that because – not only do you have President Trump right now doing what he's doing, but the Republican-controlled Congress is codifying a lot of things that Trump is doing right now.
Yes, indeed. And on permitting reform, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise has taken the lead on that. And he was just here in Montana with Troy Downing up there in Big Sky for some great events. And we have leadership. You know, people are focused on the issue. We know that if we don't act quickly, we'll fall behind the rest of the world, particularly China and others who are gobbling up energy resources around the world. And we've got to be able to develop our own. And so it is different. We still have our problems. You mentioned litigation. We have that Held v. Montana court case that was upheld by the Montana State Supreme Court, which is a major impediment towards energy development. If it emits greenhouse gases, it's in violation of supposedly our Constitution, which guarantees a healthy and clean environment. We got to straighten out that mess. It is a nationally precedent-setting case. Now other states are taking up similar litigation. So we do have our challenges, but we have a much more united front. There's a lot more attention on it. We realize that data centers need will double the need of energy output here in the state of Montana. We also realize, Aaron, our memories are not.
Henry Kriegel, hold that thought. We got to hit a hard break here, a quick break, and then we'll come back to Henry. Plus, we got callers on the phone line. Stand by.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
It's not even about Republican or Democrat. It's about basic, simple, common sense. You know, another one with the transgender issue and, you know, the right of men to play women's sports and be in women's locker rooms. I mean, this kind of madness. And the same thing I'm telling you in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I am telling you, Abigail Spanberger is bad news. And what's fascinating in both races is the DNC is panicked. They're throwing hundreds of millions of last-minute dollars into both races. That means their internal polling shows exactly what Matt Towery and Robert Cahaly had picked up. And that is their poll has New Jersey a one-point race.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
There's a reason I'm so proud of our partnership with Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, because they don't just talk the talk, they walk the walk when it comes to supporting our vets. It's a veteran-owned company. This month, Pure Talk is choosing to support Canines for Warriors. Now, this is an incredible organization that rescues and trains dogs, pairs them with veterans that are struggling, for example, with PTSD. Canines for Warriors gives these heroes a purpose. It gives them companionship and healing. That's exactly why Pure Talk, a veteran-led company, supports them. Now, choose a wireless company that shares your values. Remember, you're going to get unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, $25 a month. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You get the exact same service as the big carriers, same cell tower, same 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and make the switch. #250, keyword save now, switch today to America's wireless company, Pure Talk. Talk.
Now, this is pretty funny. Our producer, Caden, after the show wrapped up, he said, hey, what should I use for a podcast title for the 6 o'clock hour of the show? I was working on some other things that hour. I said, bring on the bots and the Democrat plant callers. Yeah, we had some fun in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Then again, we always do. Hey, if you're not up and rolling at 6 o'clock in the morning, download the Montana Talks app. That's when we have some of our most fun. And you can get the podcast later in the day. Don't worry about it.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to sneak in at least one more caller here before we wrap up the hour. But first, let's go back to Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana with some final thoughts. You know, Henry, you were talking about kind of this united front that we've got now. Montana, the Trump administration. How can people get informed and get involved, be part of your team there at AFP Montana?
Yeah, it's critical that we all work together. We remember just a year ago when sub-zero weather were just hours away from rolling blackouts. So we got to come together, work together to ensure that Montana and America's energy abundance is unleashed. So if you want to get together, connect with us, just visit us at our website, afpmontana.com. That's afpmontana.com. You will see our policy priorities for the next few years. And you'll find ways to easily engage with us, sign up as a volunteer, take your one small step to secure freedom and liberty for this and the next generation, and come join us at one of our many offices around the state of Montana.
All right. Hey, Henry, real quick question. Did biomass come up at the energy conference? Kevin in Kalispell had that question, and we're short on time.
I did not hear anything about biomass. I wasn't in on every session, but I don't believe it was on the agenda.
All right. But I know the governor's been talking about that. I know our congressional delegation has been. So, all right. Well, Henry, great to hear from you. Looking forward to seeing your team in our nation's capital coming up here in just a couple of days. We'll be broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. All right. Henry, thanks so much for joining us. Couple minutes left to go this hour of the show. Tony O'Donnell, a candidate for Billings City Council. Tony, great to hear from you. What's your pitch to the voters out there?
Well, thanks, Aaron. Boy, I could listen to Henry Kriegel and go on for hours, especially about the energy and what a great organization. I wanted to encourage people to actually get out and vote. It's very, very important that we get a conservative majority on the Billings City Council. And I agree with your the sheriff you had on earlier. The property tax reliance on the governments in the state of Montana is a dead-end street. We've got to reform the property tax system in a very meaningful way for the people, and so that it's not a burden on taxpayers in the state, but yet we are able to fund the necessary improvements that county, and state government has to do. So great people you had on there, but we need to get people to actually turn out to vote.
Yeah, Tony O'Donnell, for those that don't know, he is endorsed by the Yellowstone County Republicans. So is Jennifer Owen for mayor. And if you go to the Yellowstone County Republican website, you can see the full slate of candidates that are endorsed for the council, for the city council. Tony, I feel like there's so much opportunity for the city of Billings. You know, Yellowstone County is where the growth is at. Yellowstone County is really where it's been at. Billings proper has kind of been struggling under this kind of liberal-leaning leadership. Would you agree?
Very much so. However, if the liberals gain a majority on the Billings City Council, we could become a sanctuary city on day two. We could have defund the police. We could have supposed rights based upon transgender ideologies. A world of hurt can descend upon Billings, and all it takes is for conservatives to not vote.
That's right. Get out to vote now. And then Keisa Davison in Kalispell made a good point. Hey, hand deliver your ballots. Make sure your ballot gets in just to make sure that it gets back. And then also there's a new requirement to add your birth year. We want to remind people that just, hey, pay close attention to the instructions. It was pretty obvious to me, but just so folks remember, hey, not only do you sign your ballot, you got to fill in the birth year as well when you're dropping off those mail-in ballots. All right. Well, Tony O'Donnell, best of luck to you. Call in again. Especially as we have more open phones time here in the days ahead, all the way up until the November elections. Quick break here on the show. We've got Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction Susie Hedlund and Montana Senate President Matt Regeer joining us right after this with some very important news following up on last week's topics.
From the mattress firms.
Whoa.
impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it. I got the job. I can't believe it.
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Only life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
KDUL.